This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Are you ready?
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
You all know exactly who I am.
ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town, on a partly cloudy to mostly cloudy afternoon in the fair city, soon to be the third largest city in America. It's Barry Laminack, it's Nick Sciarra, and yours truly, Joel Blank, as we come to you on a Tuesday following a big game. I believe we discussed in the pre-show meeting a very competitive game, an exciting game, but not the kind of outcome in a game that you want if you're a Rockets fan, as they took on their rivals of the I-10 persuasion, the San Antonio Spurs. They took a 20-some point lead in the first quarter. They were leading late. They didn't hang on. Stop me when you've heard this story before. It's happened against the Spurs, it happened here, it's happened there, and now they lose the season series to San Antonio. Now they're a full six games back of the Spurs after a tough, tough two-point loss.
Were they ever going to catch the Spurs, though? I mean, really?
I mean, in the standings, no.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. But I think, you know, as we talked about yesterday, this was a great gauge to see where they were and what momentum they could put together going into the final 20 games of the season, especially since San Antonio decided to play the game at full strength. And I'll just get your guys' takes right off the top as to what you thought the difference was and why they lost.
So I had to rewatch it because I had an open mic last night that started at 8 that I was hosting. But as I left to go start the open mic, they were up 33-18, and I thought, there's no way they lose this. And then they did. And so I tried to, as much as I could, because I got home late and whatever, I've tried to watch as much as I could of the game, and to me it looked like, obviously, a 15-point quarter did them in, and that comes down to defense. I think they missed some shots, they blew some layups in that quarter, so I think it was a combination of good Spurs defense, but that quarter is what cost them the game overall. Even though they still had a chance to win it down the stretch, you know, the Spurs are known for their defense, and Kawhi Leonard made Nick look like a genius last night, because he comes in and he hits a three-pointer, and then he blocks Harden's shot.
On the other end.
And that's it. And it's like, man, it's literally like Nick called him and was like, bro, listen, and they're arguing with me that you're not the MVP. Could you show them what I'm talking about? And he did. That's what it came down to. That's crazy to think that they could be up 33-18 and it comes down to Kawhi Leonard three and a block shot within a span of 20 seconds.
Well, and we've seen this record before. Look at the big lead they had here against Indiana. First quarter where they were making, Indiana was missing. They were up 20-some points in that game too. Second quarter, a complete disaster. Again, a low-scoring quarter for the Rockets. The Pacers find their shot. Next thing you know, they're down at the half, or it's a two-point game at the half. They're down in the third quarter, and Indiana runs and hides in the fourth quarter. I felt like all along they were never safe. And in the second half...
Now see, you say that when they were up 33-18, you didn't think that...
No, you know what? We used to joke about it. But my saying all the time is, it's the NBA where everybody makes a run. And especially if it's a big first half lead. And if you can go back and check like trends, in most cases in the NBA, a big first half lead turns into a single-digit game at some point in the second half. They might not always get back all the way back on top, but it does remarkably always seem to have that gap closed quite a bit. But I just never felt, maybe it was because the bench wasn't very productive, maybe because I saw Gordon missing shots he normally makes. It definitely hurt to lose Ryan Anderson.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. You know? Because then they had to put Ariza at the power forward, which,
yeah, and
I mean,
and
he can do, but not you don't want to see that.
The other thing that bothered me was, and I guess it's just second unit comparisons, but I said to you, Nick, David Lee, at that stretch when the Spurs made that like 15-3 run to get back in it in the second half, David Lee had like, he spun baseline, no one even tried to contest him, and he dunked it on the side of the tin. He then got a couple of big rebounds, offensive rebounds. He then got another kind of a spinning move in the lane, and I'm going, this is David Lee.
Yeah.
This isn't LaMarcus Aldridge. This isn't Pau Gasol. And Gasol was awful.
Yeah.
And David Lee's kind of picking up the slack. He didn't have a ton of points, but he had points at a time when they really needed him. And it just seems like, and Patty Mills. Patty Mills is a Rockets killer. Just when you think, you know, he's not going to be a factor, and he just yanks a three with two guys in his grill and knocks it down, you're like, oh, God. That's why I never felt safe. And down the stretch, unfortunately, this is something I've been harping on all year, it's just executing down the stretch. Gordon with a completely careless turnover that was all on him. It was self-inflicted. No one around him, and he tries to turn the corner and just, you know, kind of carelessly puts it away from his body and lets it get away. Harden kind of went back to Harden, where late in the game, he was kind of dominating the ball. There were guys that were open, but he wanted to, you know, he knew the scenario, the tables. Everybody's watching this game that can. Kind of wanted to be the hero. And I thought Pat Beverly played a great game. I thought Pat Beverly, when they needed him, made shots. Ariza, as you mentioned, Nick, was not Ariza, especially from three. But I thought the one intangible guy that did step up his game, other than the hot start for Harden, and you can't argue with the numbers, was Pat Beverly.
Pat Beverly was throwing up some three-pointers that I thought he wouldn't even take, but he's been a lot more confident about taking the three-pointers now. He has no problem taking it, especially if he has a good look. And I'm okay with that if he hits it. At first, I had a problem. I remember mentioning it earlier in the season. Like, I don't know why Pat Beverly thinks he can shoot all these threes, but he's been hitting it. He shot better than Trevor Ariza. He had a better shooting percentage than Eric Gordon. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing I mentioned yesterday was the perimeter defense can kind of miss out for the Spurs at times. And there were times where Eric Gordon, Trevor Ariza, you know, all the Ryan Anderson had wide open looks and they missed it and missed it again. So, yeah, I think the Rockets let the Spurs get back into the game because of their second quarter performance. But in the fourth quarter, when James Harden should have, you know, tried to be the man, he didn't capitalize either. 1-for-4 when Leonard was guarding him.
1-for-5 when Leonard was guarding him.
When Leonard was guarding him for most of the fourth quarter. Plus that critical free throw that he missed.
Yep.
You could have put the Rockets up by 2 points. Instead, you miss it. They're only up by one, and Leonard makes that amazing three-point shot on the other
end. I said to Lisa when he went to the line, I said he's going to miss one. It just feels like...
He rushed that first one.
Yeah, it just feels like for as good as he is during the course of games when he goes on those strings to make 11, 12, 13 in a row, it just felt to me... Like, and maybe you're right. Maybe he just rushed it. Maybe he really just wanted to get that first one out of his hands. But that was such a critical time to have a miss. And again, I don't want to have people point fingers, but this was all of a sudden like Kawhi Leonard's calling card. Now, nationwide, ESPN, all across Twitter, everybody's saying what Van Gundy was saying that I said to you guys, I hope isn't serious. You know, I don't think people should seriously consider. But I'm telling you what. If there is a two-way player in this league that's better than Kawhi Leonard, please show him to me. Because defensively, that guy, like you said, Nick, he clamped on Harden, had him miss 4 or 5 shots in the fourth quarter when he was guarding him. He makes the LeBron-esque block after hitting a three, which was not an easy three.
Yeah, that was an amazing block.
And stepped up. He closed the gap. I mean, at one point, Harden had 30, 37, 35. Kawhi was in the mid-20s. Next thing you know, they're both with 39, and you're like, wow, how did that happen, and when did it happen so quick? But talk about a guy that made himself a shooter and a clutch shooter. He obviously carried them, But boy, he made some big shots at big times.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a big play. He's a big play guy. I mean, that's. It's hard to argue now when you watch a performance like that. That should he be in the conversation? And I think they showed the five guys, you know, that were in the conversation for MVP now, and it was obviously Harden and Westbrook, Isaiah Thomas, LeBron James, and Kawhi Leonard. And this is where guys start to make their case, especially in these one-on-one matchups when you have two MVP candidates. This goes a long way, especially if the Spurs end the season with a better record and he continues to perform like this, then Nick may have some, you know, a leg to stand on in the fact that the Spurs are better. They've beaten the Rockets 3 out of 4 times. Kawhi Leonard literally won the game for them down the stretch. And like you said, I mean, the comparison to LeBron and that block was perfect.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to watch some of these head-to-head matchups down the stretch and who makes their case for MVP.
A lot of Rockets fans complaining about the officials. Are you going to say it's a good game, tip your cap, and say they got us, but when you look at the stats, it was even? Or are you going to blame the officials on some of the calls, missed calls, and other things? Let us know what you think. 713-780-ESPN. You can text us, you can call us, you can hit us up on Twitter, at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're here till 4, and we interact with you throughout the show, so we want you to be a part of it. Please reach out, touch us in that way. Social media only, of course, because otherwise, we'll call the authorities. ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, so Joel, Nick, Barry, Nick, Joel, however you look at it, The Usual Suspects till 4. We were talking about the Rockets before the break. And look, I know it was a tough loss to swallow. I know there's a lot of people that can point at the officials. A lot of people can say they let another one get away and nitpick. But when you look at not only the box score, when we say that the bench just kind of crapped the bed, but San Antonio's bench only outscored them by 6. And you look at a lot of the different stats that I was just looking at during the break and say, two evenly matched teams. I mean, you tip your cap to San Antonio, but you say, look, I mean, both teams shot 46% from the floor. Three-point shooting, the Rockets 36, Spurs 41%. I said this during the pre-production meeting. Look, when both teams could keep turnovers at 12 or under, it's a really, really good game. So San Antonio had 10 turnovers, the Rockets 12, and rebounds, the Rockets were out-rebounded by 5. But overall, you got two MVP candidates leading their teams. You had a really spirited, competitive game. But I also can feel the Rockets fan that says, again, had it in the palm of our hands, and then just, grains of salt, let it slide away.
As a fan, there's no reason to be discouraged. If you look at the series this year, 101-99 Rockets, 106-100 Spurs, 102-100 Spurs, 112-110 Spurs. This team is right there with the Spurs. Mm-hmm. I mean, this team could beat the Spurs on any given night.
Mm-hmm.
They need to play better defense. But when you talk about the deficiencies in defense and you can still hang with a team like the Spurs and lose on an average by about 2 points, I mean, this is a team that's really close and they're right there. And this is going to happen. I mean, you're going to have tough losses against tough teams.
Fans across the country away from Texas, look at the 4-game series and say, well, San Antonio dominated. They won the season series 3-1. 12 points separated these two teams in 4 games, right? The one thing that stood out to me was the two-way play of Leonard, simply because both guys got you 39 points. Both guys led their teams. But in the fourth quarter, they were missing, when we kept saying, what do the Rockets need? And we're like, do they need another guard? Do they need a point guard? Then they were trying to make that run for Shumpert. And you're like, but they need another wing? Now you kind of see why. Trevor's not the defensive stopper he once was. And in the fourth quarter, you had no one to slow Leonard down. But on the other side of the court, Leonard was there to put the clamps on Harden. Well, and that was a huge factor.
Well, yeah, they had to switch, though, because Ryan Anderson was out. I still think Trevor Ariza is a plus defender on this team.
Oh, yeah, I don't disagree with that, but he's lost a step.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I do. There was 2 weeks ago that we were talking about Ariza's their best defender. I don't know that he's necessarily lost a step.
Defensively, he may have lost a step or two.
See, I think Pat Beverly's their best defender, on-ball defender, but I think that Pat Beverly and Ariza are their two best defenders.
Yeah, most versatile, because he can literally defend one through five.
One, two, three, fours. Yep,
so,
sure.
But you had to have Ariza on their four because of Anderson getting hurt, and that's why I was like, why is Harden guarding Kawhi Leonard? Like, I never want to see that. That seems like a huge mismatch. But they had to do, I mean, that's, which kind of shows you the importance of what Ryan Anderson is to this offense. When you have that, because he's literally their low post presence a lot of times at the stretch four position. And when he goes out, it really messes up their defensive rotation. And it showed here, especially with the fact that Santonio can go big.
I mean, the biggest thing with Ryan Anderson, he's still not going to rebound for you, but just his size alone is going to create at least a matchup problem or a push with a big. Trevor, just simply on height deficiency alone,
yep,
was a liability last night trying to stay with a Gasol, trying to stay with the bigs. Even though Gasol had an awful night, he was getting whatever he wanted simply because he had the size and he also had the height advantage that you're not going to give up with Ryan Anderson, to your point.
Somebody said, don't act surprised. This was Dr. Dre in 290. Did you really think they were going to win? No, I think we all picked
San Antonio.
But when you watch the game with the lead that they had, I mean, I did. I thought there's no way that they blow this. They've learned from their mistakes.
I was kind of waiting for the second quarter to end only because I figured if they continued their momentum into the second quarter and have at least, a 15-point lead going into halftime, then this would be more of a disappointment. But I think because the Rockets let them get back into the Spurs get back within nine before going into half. I'm like, okay, this.
But
this
that's
is the
blueprint
here
for Rockets
about.
Wins this year. The blueprints for Rockets wins this year, for the most part, is get up 15 or more by halftime, and then you just kind of coast in the second half. Whether the white flag gets thrown on the other side and they go, yeah, we're just not going to catch this team, and they're going to continue to play at a tempo that we can't compete with. But when they get, that's what continues to worry me, is when they get in those tight games, or when the leads, one, they let the lead slip away, and then two, execution down the stretch, which I've talked about with you guys all season, concerns me. But overall, you still can't be disappointed with a team that's the third seed in the West, that's scoring this, again, another 100 points. So they tie the Suns for most 100 point games, 100 or more scored in a row at 50. That goes back to 89-90. The last time that was done. So you know they're scoring points. Offensively, they're doing it. You can, for as much as you want to be critical of them, you can say you lose Anderson. You didn't get the shots to fall. Gordon had a lot of wide open looks that just didn't go. Ariza struggled from three, where he's normally pretty consistent, especially on the in the corners and on the sides. So with all that being said, look, a lot of positives still to take from this. It's just that the same things that we've been pointing out in terms of things they got to work on still are rearing their head and saying they still got to work on them.
Yeah, I mean, 14 lead changes, 6 ties in this game. You mentioned earlier 12 points was the difference over the course of 4 games in this series between the Rockets and the Spurs. So a very competitive matchup. I said in the commercial break that if the Spurs remain at 2, Warriors remain at 1, the Rockets remain at 3, this might be the best chance for the Rockets to get to the finals, the Western Conference Finals, because they're most probably going to play. They're going to play the number 6 seed, the Rockets, stay where they're at. Then if they get past whoever it is that they face in the first round, then they're going to face the San Antonio Spurs, which I feel is a better second round face off for the Rockets than facing off the Warriors.
Well, let me ask you this, because this is where you start scoreboard watching. This is where you start watching the standings, because you're saying if the Rockets stay at 3 to play 6 right now is Memphis. I don't think they want any part of the Grizzlies, although they can handle them if they force the tempo on them. But in a playoff series, the last thing you want to do is get beat up by the Grindhouse boys. Would you rather have Oklahoma City, or would you rather have the Nuggets make a late push? You know, the Nuggets are going to be 8, and you were saying you've got buddies that are Nuggets fans saying we want the Warriors. No one should want the Warriors.
Nobody. Nobody.
But I mean, of the two, and Memphis is 36-28, Oklahoma City 35-28. Safe to say you'd want the Thunder more than you'd want the Grizz, or do you feel like you've dominated the Grizz in the last matchup and you'd want them more?
I mean, if because they came off that they beat the Grizz last time.
Yeah, right? I was going to say they dominated them last time.
Coming off that win, it's so hard to tell because you don't know how hot the Grizzlies or the Utah Jazz or the Oklahoma City Thunder is going to get. Right now, I would actually rather face the Thunder right now.
Barry?
Oh, I'd rather, yeah. I don't want to face the Grizz if I'm the Rockets. They match up issues big time with that team. Similar to what you get with the Spurs, though, matchup-wise. But, again, they for some reason they're able to hang. It seems closer with the Spurs. But I'm kind of with you, though. Golden State is that team. No one should be looking to face them.
Even if they're wounded.
And because you have a similar offensive style, they're better at that than the Rockets are. So you shouldn't be wanting to face
them. I think everybody's getting off on Daryl's statement that said, we want to just be able to compete with the Rockets, with the Warriors and try and outscore them. I mean, be careful what you wish for, right? The big thing is going to be health on their part. But certainly, if in the first round, no one should want the Golden State Warriors. But depending on what you hear, when Durant will be back, yeah, you'd like to see him back for a couple games and get back in the groove before, if you're Golden State, before he gets into a really knockdown, drag-out, tough seven-game series. But looking at the big picture, they're not going to be challenged, I don't think, in the first round. So, and then you'll have some extra time. It's just how serious is this injury? Because where it hurts them is, I think in the semis, because of the fact that the Rockets are playing well, because the Spurs are there, yeah, they'll get the 4 seed. But I really think that semifinals maybe, but they need him for the Western Conference Finals for sure, whoever they play, because it's going to be a tough matchup. So let us know what you think. Chris, sorry we lost you there, but if you want to chime in on the Rockets, we'll get you back in the conversation. We got plenty more to get to as well. Got a long show here till 4. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. We are the Usual Suspects, and it's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, half hour in. Plenty more to get to. Your Rockets drop a tough one to the Spurs by 2 in the Alamo City. Lose the season series 3-1. Chris was holding for a long time. Appreciate you hopping back on the phone. Want to get you back in here right away. Chris, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, what to say? Hey, I like y'all's show, first of all, but everything saying on the Rockets, I do agree with it. Actually called in not long ago and suggested we traded Corey Brewer, so that was a good piece that Corey made. But a couple things I noticed last night. Number one, Sam Decker looked a little hesitant to me, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, even if you're not making those shots, I need you to shoot them just for spacing and other things. Another thing is David Lee, he had like 8 or 10 boards on us, you know. So our bench didn't play its best game, but comparatively with the Spurs, I mean, I think that it did show that we're almost there, and it was almost kind of like a metaphor for our season. You know, the Spurs are a better team. They have more consistency right now, more continuity, but I do think that we're almost there. We kind of need another power forward or someone who can actually kind of bang or get defensively for us, because Anderson is not going to be that guy, and putting Ariza there is going to waste him after a while. So those are kind of my thoughts. I think the team is doing well. I think we do have room for improvement. But I think the playoffs would be a lot of fun, but I don't want to see Memphis in that first round either.
Chris, good call, man. Appreciate you chiming in on there.
I like the fact that he had all of his concise thoughts put together. Yeah. He was concise. He didn't ramble.
Delivered it well.
I love it.
Yeah, that my was big. Nice. I was going to mention that to you guys too. And look, you guys know, and it pains Barry, I know every day, that I'm a Badger guy, but I'm starting to. I don't want to say sour, okay, on Decker, but it was. To me, he's never going to be what he was in college from the three-point line. But to me, I want him more aggressive. Like, when Decker is like, we can point out the couple times that he's really dunked on people. But when he goes to the basket hard, I like the fact that he was kind of aggressive with Gasol right away. He wasn't intimidated by him. But then he got hesitant with shots and didn't want to pull the trigger and was afraid to go to the basket. Bullard said it with a couple guys. Don't have that wrist upside down. Turn that thing over and try and punch that on somebody so you can get to the line. Decker worries me offensively. I don't have, when he pulls the trigger, I don't have that confidence in him like I do with a lot of the guys that shoot the ball. Even like I said, when spot up threes are there for Ariza or Beverly, if they're just good, clean looks, I feel really good about those guys shooting the basketball. Decker does worry me a little bit.
He doesn't worry me. He's still a rookie, essentially. I mean, the guy, mm-hmm. This is still his rookie year, and he's still learning the NBA brand of basketball, and he's still learning Mike D'Antoni's system. He still looks lost out there, but it's because he's young, and he's still getting coached up by the players. Now, if this time next year he's making these same mistakes, I'd be a little more worried about the future of Sam Decker and what he can really, you know, what his ceiling is, the roof for this team.
I'm not saying I'm worried about his future. I'm saying I just worry about his overall fit.
Well, I'm just saying
with
I would
this
be.
System.
I mean, I just think he's lost still. He looks lost at times. And now, as far as hesitating on threes and so forth, yeah, you've got to take those shots. I mean, no matter what. But yeah, you can just see at times he doesn't look like he knows what's going on. And I don't know if that's an education thing or you know
it was a good observation by the caller. I think it was, his name was Chris Todd. Yep. Todd. Yeah, Chris. I mean, yeah, he was more hesitant in this particular game. I actually felt like he raised his stock in the last 10 games or so. But there have been the last couple games where, yes, he has been hesitant behind a three-point line. One thing I do like is, as you mentioned, his aggressiveness. Mm-hmm. The one thing I think he likes to do, kind of like Beverly, but not as aggressively as Beverly, is to kind of show the opponent that I'm not afraid of you. Yes, I'm young, but I'm totally willing to defend you and go up against you.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, see, that's the thing. Like, I know this is a loss, and we're very reactionary, and especially in sports talk radio, but it's one loss. So it's as far as losses go, it wasn't terrible. Yeah, they blew a big lead, but it's not like they blew a big lead against the Pelicans and lost.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is the Spurs. This is the best defensive team. They're going to hold you to 15 points. But so, I mean, I'm with you. I don't think that this isn't the bench let them down last night. Okay. The bench had less than 30 points total. When you're used to Lou Williams and Eric Gordon scoring that each some nights. I mean, that's so they didn't get a contribution from their bench. They really didn't get a contribution from a lot of folks other than James Harden. So I mean, it's one bad game overall. I'm not panicking on any of these players necessarily.
Lou Williams, Ariza, and Gordon, all three of them struggled, and that's mm-hmm. just
and that's going to happen.
And what I'm saying is, I'm not panicking on anyone. What I am saying, though, is that from the standpoint of guys that you're going to have to rely on, and I think to a couple points you made, Nick. One, Beverly made shots that you thought he wouldn't have taken earlier. That's exactly what Decker's not doing. In this system, you have to have the confidence that every time you're open, whether you make it or miss it, you got to know the coaching staff wants you to pull. So pull. Because you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, but you miss most of the shots that you take after hesitating. Because you're not sure you're supposed to take them. You got to shoot it with confidence, without question. And I think that from the standpoint of the deadline's over with now, you're not going to jump out. You're still trying to add somebody if they're out there. Now I don't know if there's anybody out there. But if Decker's going to be in your rotation, he's got to look like more of a fit. He could be lost. I would be fine if he looked lost in the first 35, 40 games. But at this point, if you're going to have him a part of your rotation, he's just got to be... A little confidence has got to be kind of beaming across the board a little bit more. And the other thing is, yes, I agree. Because, look, it was a close game. We highlighted that. Would you be happier if they got blown out? I don't think anybody should say yes because they showed they can compete with the Spurs. But to the point of you made, Nick, about Decker struggling over a little bit more of his last 10 games, start looking at the opponents and looking at the level kind of got raised. And even when the Rockets as a team played better, he struggled because his matchups on a night-in, night-out basis were a little bit more difficult with a little bit deeper team and a little bit more talented team than some of the teams he's been playing. Tomorrow night's another good key to kind of as a barometer. How do they bounce back? They've been playing well at home. They're playing a team four games back of them in the four spot in Utah. You don't want them in the first round if you can avoid it. They're right there with the Clippers. I would say 4-5 is the hole you want to stay out of because that's a... Normally, traditionally, where four is vulnerable, three you should get through the first round. So another good test tomorrow night. But these have been games that have been bigger tests. We mentioned that this 6-game stretch was going to be indicative, show you a lot about who this team is and how they're made up. So
100%.
We'll see. Kurt Lowe, Nick was worried about you. I don't worry about you because I always know where to find you when you find me on Twitter. But I am glad you called because Nick was deeply concerned that you had thrown in the towel on calls. So, Kurt Lowe, welcome back.
Oh, man, I'll call you. I listen to the show sometimes, man. I can't call every day, man. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate y'all, man.
Well, we appreciate you not calling every day, but we still need you to check in every now and then so we know you're okay.
You know, I might just start calling in every day just you know what I'm saying?
It's all right.
I'm sick of hearing the Texans on the radio, and I want to hear some basketball. So I really appreciate y'all, man.
You got it.
I gotta actually pay a subscription to Sirius XM NBA Radio, $25 a month, just to listen to NBA on the radio. It's ridiculous.
I don't know what's more ridiculous, is you're paying $25 a month to hear that, because there's got to be ways to pirate that stuff. But
the NBA making money, Joe. You, yeah, know, no, what
you know I know that. There. All right, so you're the Kool-Aid drinker in the bunch. So break it down for us. Are you worried, concerned? You're okay? Where are you after that game last night?
I'm not concerned about the Spurs, man. You know what I'm saying? We played good. You just said we had a terrible bench, right?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? We made 10 points. They were 1-for-10 or something like that, 1-for-11 from the field last night. You know, the bench. Eric Gordon and what's his name?
Lou Williams.
We lost by a little bit at home. You know, we should have won both of those games last we played with the Spurs. I'm not worried about the Spurs. You know what teams I'm worried about, Joe?
Tell me.
It's the Jazz and the Grizzlies. That teams are going to send Houston home. You know what I'm saying? And Golden State, of course. You know what I'm saying? KD, if he gets healthy, I doubt it if KD's not there.
Okay.
Houston has the second best offense in the NBA.
And you're preaching to the choir here, because we've all said all along, until you get to a Western Conference matchup, that, you know, you do have to pay more attention to matchups than in years past. And the teams that scare us a little bit or would bring some concern to the table are the two you mentioned. You know, teams that either slow it down or can compete with whatever tempo you play, like Utah. But Memphis is obviously going to get into trying to force tempo on you in the postseason.
That's what they do. Everything stops in the playoffs. It comes to down to defense. The defensive teams are always going to advance in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And the pace of play is a big. It's not really a concern, but you got to look out for it when it comes to the playoffs. Not really in the regular season. But I wanted to say one thing, man. You know, all they talking about on the national TV, on national radio, is Leonard about 39 points. Like, Harden didn't have 39 points last night either, you know what I'm saying, to go along with 12 assists. So I'm saying, so somebody start throwing that out. I don't want to hear, you know, about how much Leonard was the best player in the world last night. He should be the MVP now, you know what I'm saying, because Harden did the same damn thing last night, and it's aggravating.
You know what he's saying?
The only difference was Harden didn't play defense, though, bro. Like, Kawhi Leonard.
I saw a play where he shut him down one.
What?
Hey, Kurt Lowe, you ever heard the saying a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then, too?
Kurt Lowe, he literally shot a three-pointer, ran down the court, and blocked a shot to win the game. That literally won the game. I'm with you, though. Nick is the one that was saying his vote was for Kawhi Leonard, that Kawhi Leonard should be the MVP, and I'm still saying James Harden. But last night, you can't deny what he did, MVP candidate straight up against MVP candidate. He put one in his eye, and then he blocked his shot. You can't deny that. When it mattered, when it counted.
David Lee fouled him.
Bro.
Chief, he blocked the shot. Come on, man. He pinned it on the glass.
David Lee fouled him on his elbow as he was going up, and Kyrie, whatever his name is, went up there and blocked the shot. Harden got fouled on that play by David Lee. Y'all didn't see that? And what was up with the referees with all the missed calls? It was the Spurs day yesterday or something? You know what I'm saying? With a celebration? I can't wait for that report today. I'm looking at it, and I'm going to be eyeing it down like a damn wolf, eyeing down food.
So if you're going to eye it down, are you taking on Aaron Foster like a wolf too?
You don't know.
I ain't that crazy enough.
Dude. Okay, all right.
We'll leave the crazy boat to the Arian Fosters. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, brother.
That's a fool.
All right, well, I'm glad to hear you're okay. We appreciate you chiming in. Look, you know, we said it a million times. I think more so than anything else, the reason why you're hearing about Kawhi Leonard is because he's now in the conversation.
Dude, they're the second best team in the NBA.
But I'm saying he's now in the conversation. Van Gundy started it on Sunday. He didn't do anything to make it go away last night. And because he's adding an element that now suddenly people weren't considering and are considering from the defensive perspective. And I don't want to sell you short, Nick, because you are right there with Van Gundy. You brought it up too, and you made sure people need to pay more attention to Kawhi Leonard. And now, because of what happened last night, they are. So
I have some interesting defensive stats for you guys.
Okay.
I looked up defensive win share, and I think you'll be surprised at you know, who's in the top 10 and who's not, and where the Rockets rank just on their squad alone and where they rank within the NBA itself.
All right, we'll have that coming back, and as well as a whole lot more. So we'll get to that and take your calls, texts, and, of course, your tweets, which we're monitoring on a regular basis. We are ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Free away that brave young man.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Look here. It's about that time. Let's rodeo, Houston. I'm telling you right now, the rodeo kicks off today with the gentleman you're listening to right now, Aaron Watson. For just $18, you can see the best music, rodeo action, shopping, dining, and carnival fun. Buy your tickets today at RodeoHouston.com. To go see Aaron Watson tonight. Nick, I know he's on your playlist, so.
Is that who's all playing right now? This is Aaron Watson.
I that's what I was told.
July in Cheyenne.
That's July? What it's called? July in Cheyenne. You know what I wish there was?
July.
You know, there's gangster rap. I wish there was gangster country. Wouldn't that be badass?
You'd be think like, it'd be pretty easy, right?
Yeah, like, I punched this horse dead off in its face. I don't care. I sprayed a cowgirl with mace. Like, that would be pretty sweet.
Gangsta driving country. In my truck and you cut me off. Got my shotgun.
Rolling down the
shot
street.
Shot you twice and took off.
Smoking tobacco. Sipping on what? Jack and juice? I don't know what the hell they would say. But gangster country would be legit.
Because what's the running joke that I always was? If you play country music backwards, you get your car back, your girl back, your dog back, and your job back.
Gangster country is, I think I could start that.
A new category?
I think so. Don't you think? No? Not a fan? Joel, you want to buy a gangster country album?
I think it's definitely something that they're lacking. Something with a little bit more of an aggressive lyrical genre.
Yeah. Like busting calves on doggies. No?
You raised the price on the hay.
Yeah.
That I was trying to bail.
That's, I think gangster country. I think we should do this. I think we should start a gangster country.
Do you have to sing it, or could you do like gangster country rap?
We could rap.
I think that would work better.
Yeah, we could do gangster country rap, but we could sing like Nate Dogg. You know, Nate Dogg never really was a rapper. He was a singer that was associated with rap groups, and that could be you. Like, you could be Nate Doggy. Nate Doggy.
Super.
You could be Nate
Doggy. I'm Nate Doberman.
You could be Nate Doggy. Nick, what would your gangster country rap name be?
It's too long. I'm just Nate Dobe.
No, Doggy. It's like a get along
little
Doggy.
Yeah.
Not okay. What's
not
your
too long?
What's your gangster country name? I don't know.
What would your name be?
I don't know. It'd be like I don't know.
I don't know either.
Can't you be Quick Draw, Nick?
Quick Draw. I don't know if that sounds very gangster though.
That is kind of gangster. No, yeah, I like that. It? That's good.
You got the gun.
Quick Draw. That's really good, Joel. Give me mine. What would mine be? Come up with one for me.
Gotta think about
it. I want my gangster country. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what mine would be. The idiot? I don't know.
No.
I don't know what mine would be. I don't know what mine would be. We'll come up with one. I like this, though.
I mean, it's kind of like.
Somebody said Johnny Cash. Juggalo Trey said Johnny Cash was gangster country. No. It's not what I'm talking about.
No.
Not what I'm talking about at all.
I think Barry's more like the Professor Outlaw.
Professor Outlaw?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm good with that.
You can put it together on the number side if he has to, but at the end of the day.
It's like Professor Griff from Public Enemy. Professor Outlaw.
There you go.
Okay. I'm good with that. I
forgot about Professor Griff, though.
Did you?
Yeah, because I that's such a cool. Anything that has Professor before, I think, is a cool name.
Yeah.
Professor X.
I like Professor Quick. No, Professor. What'd you say? Professor Outlaw. Yeah. I like this. Cool.
There you have it.
Now we got to come up with a name for our group. We'll figure that out before the show's over.
The Dixie Dudes.
I don't want to be the Dixie Dudes.
I don't either. All right, Kyle, you've been waiting a while. You want to talk about the Rockets. Kyle, what's up?
Hey, guys. I just want to let you know, I started listening to the show a couple months back. Y'all definitely got a total fan in me now.
Appreciate it, man.
Good to have you on, man.
Man, I tell you what, I was watching the game last night. And I mean, of course, I was screening my television. I was pissed off because we ended up losing, but I laugh. I have this friend from high school, and it's like he's declared war on the Rockets since they hired Dan Tony before the season. You know, and then, you know, he said when we lost the Lakers game one, this team terrible. Well, then, you know, he just ignored like the next 2-3 months and saw that they were really clicking. And last night, you know, I was like, I know, sure enough, he's going to be saying stuff on Twitter and Facebook about this. Sure enough, you know, that's why Harden's not going to win the MVP and this team is terrible. And I'm like, dude, Harden is the only main reason we were in that game to begin with. And if it, like y'all were talking about it, I mean, Lou Williams and Gordon and Ariza, they all let us down last night. The only one really doing his role to the up to snuff to beat the Spurs last night besides Harden, in my opinion, was Patrick Beverley. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, it seemed like they just were dragging. I mean, even Nene, and Nene's been just a star pickup for what we're paying him. I thought everybody lagged a little bit. You're not going to beat the Spurs or the Warriors or the Cavaliers or whatever other top three team, like we're in top four, if you're not clicking on all cylinders. Harden's got to have help in the fourth quarter. He can't do it all by himself, not against a team of that caliber.
Well, good call, Kyle. We appreciate it. Look, here's the thing. That's the big thing is, and to all of the discussion we had earlier, guys, people forget what kind of first quarter James Harden had. He was the best player on the court, head and shoulders above everyone else in that first quarter. He had more than half the Rockets' points. He could not miss. And by the fourth quarter, people are like, he let you down? No, not really. Because without him, you're not in it.
Yeah.
It's just the supporting cast. He, with all the great points that he made there, he forgot that Ryan Anderson, not by his own doing, I mean, he's injured. It wasn't like a lack of play. He just got hurt. But yeah, those guys just didn't step up. Yeah. Scott, you want to get in here, but you want to switch gears. You want to talk about gangster country.
Uh-oh.
Scott, you there? Scott.
Hello?
Yo, go, Scott.
Hey, what's going on? I was just calling to say that my girlfriend's brother, he came across some country rapper, and it's pretty awful stuff, but you guys should give it a listen. It's kind of funny. It's a guy called Big Poe.
Big Foe or Big Poe? Spell it.
Big Poe. B-I-G-P-O.
Big
Poe.
Somebody also texted Colt Ford and Wheeler Walker Jr. You're familiar with any of that, Scott?
No, sir. Colt Ford, yeah.
Is he gangster country?
Big Poe's just, it's hilarious. I can't take it seriously, but maybe you guys will enjoy it. I enjoy listening to it. I laugh. It's funny.
All right, I'm going to listen to you guys. I'm going to listen to this stuff at the break and see if we can maybe come back with a couple of gangster country songs. Appreciate
it. All right, well, good luck, man.
Appreciate it, Scott. Thanks for listening, man.
Somebody, like, fart on the way out.
Can we get Scott? I don't know what that noise was.
Crap his pants.
It sounded very loud and like it rocketed off the upholstery of his car.
Yeah, somebody didn't like my rap. That was a stereotypical face mace white guy rap.
Well,
okay.
And the whole world's a critic. I think we should be called the Solo Cup Snipers.
We're going to come up with something.
This is really good.
So focused.
You could tell the wheels are turning.
The STF.
He looked like he wasn't down with this when I first, but now he's definitely.
Like, you know how STP, the oil company, used to have that STP?
Solo Cup Snipers.
The Solo Cup Snipers.
Bro, that's legit good.
Trying to help you all out here.
Barry is too black for gangster country. Guys, stop it. Jeez. Just not the case. Barry's rat name, Skeet Shooter.
Wow.
Skeet Shooter. I like that.
With an A.
Yeah. Shooter with an A. God, Shooter. That's brilliant.
Speaking of shooting Uh-oh. Or shooter, Kawhi Leonard has the game that he has last night. They have to hold the press conference up because he had to go pee in a cup. Yeah, y'all hear about that?
Yeah, that was weird.
He had to take he was selected to do his mandatory drug test immediately following that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. And what the worst part about that is, because like I heard the guys used to always talk about that, they did it at training camp too, is that you don't have any privacy. A security person has to literally watch you pee in a cup to make sure that you were the culprit that peed in the cup.
That's, yeah.
There's some stage fright going on there, kids. I mean, if you are the scared turtle in that case, No one should blame you. That's all I'm saying.
Somebody said, don't forget about Toe Down and Country Rap Tune. Do you remember this song?
I know who Toe Down is.
Yeah, dude. I forgot. Totally forgot about that. We got to play that coming back. Somebody said, group name, The Haystack Boys with a Z. Boys. I like that.
Okay.
Our hit song will be Trapping Out the Tractor.
Jeez.
I can dig that. The
Haystack. Yes, it's better.
Dude, The Haystack Boys is pretty legit.
It's not bad.
And then there's a dollar sign in Haystack. The stack is a dollar sign. Dude, that's legit.
Now I'm really going to start thinking about
it. So far, I got to go with Haystack Boys with the dollar sign and the Z. This is really good. We got it so far. That's good. But your names are legit, though.
We're up against it, so we're going to come back with it if you guys want to jump in on that conversation or any of the others. We already got 1 hour in the books and two to go, but plenty more show, so please be a part of it. We are ESPN 97.5.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.